Think about a brand that you, well, absolutely loved maybe 3 or 5 years ago that simply doesn't exist
Oh,
today.
yeah. Or the ones that are technically still around, but they've just completely fallen off your radar.
Right. I mean, they had millions of clicks. They had these viral TikTok campaigns, massive ad budgets. They were literally everywhere.
Yep, unavoidable.
And then they just vanished. Like, where did they go?
It's a really fascinating dynamic to observe, honestly.
It is. And today we are looking at an incredibly insightful guide from Scopic Studios. It's titled Bridging the Gap: Brand Strategy versus Marketing Strategy. Because it turns out going viral without a solid underlying identity isn't exactly a victory.
No, not at all. It's actually a highly efficient way to just burn through your cash and alienate your audience entirely.
Exactly.
We live in this era of absolute information overload, you know. Capturing someone's attention is, well, it's cheaper and more accessible than it has ever been in human history.
But keeping it is the hard part, right?
Exactly. Retaining that attention, that is where the failure rate just skyrockets. We hear these terms, branding and marketing, kind of thrown around in boardrooms as if they're interchangeable synonyms.
Oh, constantly.
Right. But treating them as the same thing is the fundamental error. It's what separates the household names you actually trust from those like one-hit wonders you scroll past and immediately forget.
And that is exactly our mission for you today. If you've ever found yourself just drowning in overlapping business buzzwords or trying to figure out why your own company or maybe a company you're evaluating just can't seem to turn initial clicks into lifelong customers, well, we are going to decode this.
Yeah, we're going to map out exactly what to bundle together and what to separate.
Because to understand how these two forces work together, we really have to definitively tear them apart first.
Okay, let's unpack this. As I was reading through the source material, I kept visualizing this dynamic.
Okay, lay it on me.
So, if a business is a person on a dating app.
Oh, I love this already. Right. The brand strategy is who they actually are. It's their core values, their personality, you know, their actual identity when they are sitting across the table from you.
Right, the real person.
Exactly. And the marketing strategy is the profile they create. It's the carefully curated pictures and the witty messages they send out just to get you to agree to a first date.
That is, I mean, the dating app analogy works beautifully for the surface level,
But
but we have to push it further to understand the real business mechanics. Because where that analogy breaks down is that a business isn't just trying to find one perfect match.
right, that would be a terrible business model.
Exactly. It's trying to court thousands, sometimes millions of people simultaneously across dozens of different platforms, all while algorithms are actively judging its behavior.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a lot more complicated than a coffee date.
Definitely. So if we look at the definitions provided in our source, brand strategy is fundamentally answering the internal question, like who are
Yeah.
we as a brand? It defines the architecture of what a business stands for and exactly how it intends to shape public perception.
And then marketing strategy is the external deponent of that.
Precisely. It answers how do we reach and convert our specific audience? It's the active promotion of that identity. So, brand strategy shapes the perception, but marketing strategy drives the visibility.
That makes total sense. And the time frame is really what dictates how those two function, right? I mean, a brand strategy is a long-term plan.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't shift every single time a new social media platform launches. It's the foundation that guides internal alignment, it shapes the whole customer experience, and it builds an identity that can actually weather a competitive market over years or even decades.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the marketing strategy is your detailed, immediate action plan. It is the blueprint used to actively reach, engage, convert, and retain that target audience like this month or this quarter.
Which is why blurring the lines between them creates such chaos, I imagine.
Total chaos. Brand strategy is your ultimate direction, and marketing strategy is your measurable activity. If you don't separate those conceptually, you end up doing what a lot of failed startups do.
Which is what?
They mistake activity for direction.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Right. They push out the scattered messaging on every new channel, resulting in growth that is entirely unsustainable because, well, there's no central gravity holding the customer in place once they actually arrive.
Okay, so having a great identity is a nice concept, but nobody buys your identity if they don't even know you exist.
Exactly.
So how does this blueprint actually become visible? Because knowing what these strategies are really requires looking at the actual mechanics of what they're built from. I mean, if I'm building a brand strategy, I can't just write a bunch of vague adjectives on a whiteboard and call it a day.
No, you absolutely cannot, though honestly, many try.
I bet.
The Source breaks down the brand strategy blueprint into these interlocking components. It's entirely causal. You start with the core, which is your purpose and your values.
The why.
Exactly. The why driving the company. And it has to go way beyond just making a profit.
And why does that matter so much?
Because that purpose actively dictates your target. Intimately understand your audience's behaviors and their pain points. If you don't first know what specific problem your purpose is trying to solve for them.
Right. I see. So the purpose filters the audience.
Yeah.
Because you can't be everything to everyone. So your purpose actively repels the wrong customers and attracts the right one.
Exactly. It acts as a filter.
Hmm.
Which then mechanically leads to the next component, positioning and differentiation.
Which means?
Once you know your purpose and your audience, you have to define what actually sets you apart in their minds.
Like what?
Well, is it an absolute commitment to zero-waste sustainability? Is it a highly accessible price point? Or maybe concierge-level customer service?
Okay, got it.
That specific differentiator is what you build your messaging pillars on. Those are the repeatable, stable themes that will constantly reinforce your core identity whenever you speak. And that is the architecture of the brand.
Okay, now let's contrast that architecture with the active components of a marketing strategy. Because the text highlights elements we all interact with daily, right?
Oh, yeah, constantly.
Like SEO to increase organic online visibility, pay-per-click advertising to capture high-intent demand, social media management for community engagement, all the classics.
The standard toolkit, exactly.
But while I was going through the marketing services section, I zeroed in on something highly modern that the text includes, which is GEO, or Generative Engine Optimization.
Yes.
I really want to unpack this because it feels like a massive shift. I mean, with traditional SEO, you are basically playing a matching game with keywords for a search engine.
Right, trying to rank links.
But GEO optimizes content specifically for AI-powered search experiences, like those AI summaries and conversational search features we're seeing everywhere now.
It's changing everything.
Right. Instead of a search engine just handing a user a list of links, the AI is actually reading your website, synthesizing the information, and directly answering the user's question.
That is a critical distinction. And what's fascinating here is how GEO perfectly illustrates why you need both strategies working in tandem.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Well, think about how an AI engine interprets a company compared to a traditional search algorithm. A traditional algorithm just looks for keyword density and backlinks, doesn't care if you have a soul.
Right, it's just doing math.
Exactly. But an AI generative engine is synthesizing context. It is looking for authoritative, consistent information across the entire web to summarize who you are and what you do.
Oh, wow. So if you don't know who you are.
Right. Your brand's core identity, like its purpose and positioning, has to be incredibly clear and consistent. Otherwise, the AI will summarize you incorrectly or just ignore you entirely for lacking authority.
That makes a lot of sense. So the who we are has to be so rock solid that even a machine intelligence understands your brand values. But the marketing strategy, you know, the how we get found part, has to constantly adapt. You are no longer just optimizing for a Google search page. You're optimizing to be the authoritative source that an AI references when a user asks it a natural conversational question.
Precisely. The marketing strategy must evolve rapidly to capture visibility in this new tech environment. But if it isn't anchored to a stable brand strategy, the AI has absolutely nothing meaningful to synthesize.
And that leads right into the organizational friction, though, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Because if building a machine-readable deep identity takes years of consistent discipline, you run into a massive wall. The people running the marketing departments usually want clicks today.
Not tomorrow, today, right.
Here's where it gets really interesting. I was looking at the comparison table in the text, and the friction is just baked right into the organizational chart. You have totally different timelines and metrics.
Completely opposed in some ways.
Yeah. Brand strategy focuses on long-term trust, brand awareness, and loyalty. And it's owned by leadership teams and creative directors. But marketing strategy focuses on short to midterm ROI, traffic, leads, you know, quarterly revenue growth.
Right, the immediate numbers.
And it's owned by campaign managers and growth hackers. So you have one side of the room looking at a 5-year horizon of trust, and the other side sweating over this week's click-through rates.
And when you have two teams essentially speaking different dialects of business and chasing opposing metrics, alignment just breaks down.
I can imagine.
The growth team feels like the brand team is moving way too slowly and acting like the brand police. And meanwhile, the brand team feels like the marketing team is cheapening the company's identity just to hit a monthly quota.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for you then.
Okay, go for it.
Let's say I am a startup founder or, you know, a VP of sales with a highly demanding board. I have aggressive revenue targets. Can I just skip the heavy philosophical lifting of brand strategy and solely focus on a killer marketing strategy?
Just go straight for the sale.
Right. Just run the highly optimized ads, capture the demand, get the clicks, and make the money. I mean, why do I need to spend months figuring out my positioning if my Facebook ads are generating positive ROI right now?
It is the most tempting trap in modern business. And The Source addresses the danger of this directly.
So it's a trap.
A huge one. Yes, technically you can run marketing without a brand strategy, but when you do that, you trigger a mechanism of rapid commoditization.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Well, without a strong brand foundation, your marketing efforts will likely generate a quick spike in traffic. But because there's no deeper identity, your campaigns will be totally generic. They will look and sound exactly like every other ad in the feed.
Ah.
You'll capture a transaction, sure, but you will completely fail to build long-term trust. And mechanically, what happens next is that your customer acquisition costs will slowly climb.
Because you have to keep paying for every single click.
Exactly. You are easily replaceable by the very next competitor who runs a slightly cheaper ad. You have absolutely no loyalty moat.
So you essentially become a vending machine. People will use you if you are the most convenient option right in front of them. But they aren't going to go out of their way to find you, and they certainly aren't going to, like, defend you or recommend you to a friend.
That is a great way to look at it. You are a transaction, not a relationship.
Right.
And one of the most effective ways the text illustrates how to avoid becoming a vending machine is through the operational distinction between voice and tone.
Okay, break that down for me.
This is where the long-term brand and the short-term marketing finally shake hands. Voice is defined as the brand's consistent personality. It's the core style and fundamental character people associate with the company across every single interaction.
So the voice stays the same?
Yes. Tone, however, is flexible. It changes depending on the audience, the specific channel, or the emotional state of the customer at that exact moment.
I want to make sure I really get the mechanics of this because I see companies mess this up all the time. Give me a concrete scenario of how voice and tone operate together without contradicting each other.
Okay, let's imagine a disruptive financial tech startup.
Okay, a fintech company.
Right. Their brand voice, which is their core personality, defined by their brand strategy, is transparent, rebellious, and highly educational. They're actively trying to demystify finance.
That makes sense.
That voice never changes. But their tone has to flex based on the marketing channel. So on Instagram or TikTok, their marketing tone might be highly conversational, witty, and, you know, meme-heady to capture the attention of a younger demographic.
Got it.
But what happens if a customer experiences a glitch and their account is locked? When that customer receives a support email, if the tone is still witty and meme-heavy, the customer will be furious.
Right, because reading a joke when you can't access your mortgage payment is infuriating.
Exactly. So in that email, the tone shifts to become deeply empathetic, serious, and supportive. However, the voice, that transparent and educational part, remains.
Ah, I see.
They clearly explain exactly why the glitch happened and how they are fixing it without hiding behind corporate jargon. So the tone flexed to meet the emotional need of the crisis, but the underlying voice remained unmistakably consistent with the rebellious, transparent brand they promised.
Okay, so let's look at the dark side of that. What happens when that alignment fails? We've all experienced this as consumers, but I want to look at the mechanics of why it actually drives us away.
Oh, it's a disaster when it fails.
The text gives a great scenario of marketing and branding fundamentally failing to collaborate. Imagine a marketing team creates a brilliant, fast-paced ad. It successfully grabs the attention of young adults looking for an innovative, fresh software company.
Sounds good so far.
Right. The marketing team nailed the GEO, they nailed the algorithm, they got the click. But when that user clicks through, they land on a website that looks like it was built in 2005.
Oh, no.
Yeah, filled with incredibly dense, dry, technical jargon about, you know, synergistic enterprise solutions.
I'm exactly the kind of site you mean.
The messaging on the site feels completely alienated from the fun, innovative ad they just clicked. So what does this all mean? Like, mechanically, what is happening in the consumer's brain in that three-second window?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what happens is immediate cognitive dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance?
Yes. The business has just shattered the customer's trust before the relationship even officially began. The customer's brain essentially registers a bait and switch.
Wow, a threat.
Basically, yes. The marketing served as an incredibly effective hook. But because the branding on the website, you know, the actual identity and experience, didn't reinforce that initial promise, the brain perceives it as a deception. The engagement dies instantly.
So you don't just lose the sale.
No, you actively train that consumer to ignore your future ads.
It is reverting back to our dating app analogy. The algorithm optimizes your profile to be funny and adventurous so you get the date. But you show up to the coffee shop wearing a gray suit, reading a tax manual, and refusing to make eye contact.
Exactly. The other person isn't just going to leave.
They are going to warn their friends about you.
They are going to bounce right off that website and never return. And the text actually lists the specific organizational mistakes that cause this fatal disconnect.
What are they?
Well, the first is vague brand guidelines. A company might have a PDF of rules, but they are just too abstract to actually guide the marketing team's daily content decisions.
Right. They just sit in a folder somewhere.
Exactly. The second is siloed teams and disconnected messaging. This is where the social media team, the email team, and the web developers are basically telling entirely different stories, which leads to incredibly weak brand recall.
The text also points out that treating branding as a one-time project is a massive vulnerability. I see this constantly.
Oh, all the time.
A company thinks, well, we paid an agency to design a logo and write a mission statement 5 years ago. We checked the brand box. Now we just do marketing.
Yes, the set it and forget it mentality. Branding is not a logo. It is an ongoing strategic system. It has to be constantly managed, measured, and realigned with every new marketing push.
Because if it isn't...
When teams focus exclusively on immediate clicks, they will inevitably start compromising the core identity to get those clicks. And that quietly erodes long-term trust. If the brand strategy isn't living and breathing alongside the marketing strategy, the marketing will eventually cannibalize the brand.
That is a powerful warning. So we have diagnosed the illness. We see exactly how the collision happens and why it destroys revenue. Now, how do businesses actually cure the disconnect?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. If you are listening to this right now and you are analyzing a project you're building, a side hustle you're trying to scale, or even just evaluating the company you currently work for, how do you know what kind of help you actually need based on the text?
It gives some really clear indicators.
Exactly. The source gives us some really clear operational triggers to look out for. For instance, you need to bring in a brand strategy agency if your internal positioning is unclear. If you ask three executives what makes your company different and you get three different answers, you have a brand problem.
That is a massive red flag.
Right. Or if your differentiation from competitors is weak, or you are facing an upcoming market expansion, you need someone to help define the architecture of your identity before you spend another dollar on ads.
And on the flip side, you need a full-service marketing partner if your foundational identity is solid, but your execution is fragmented.
Okay, so you know who you are.
Right. You know exactly who you are, but your SEO, your content output, your pay-per-click ads, and your social media efforts all just feel disconnected from one another. Or if your website performance and lead generation are struggling despite having a genuinely good product.
That makes sense.
That is when you need a partner focused on visibility, generative engine optimization, and measurable growth.
What's interesting is how the authors of this guide, Scopic Studios, actually use their own agency model to illustrate what curing this disconnect looks like in practice. They operate as an AI digital marketing agency designed specifically to bridge this exact gap.
Right. They provide an objective blueprint for integration. The whole goal of an integrated model is to ensure that every single touch point works together cohesively.
So nothing feels out of place.
Exactly. You take the core brand strategy and you hardwire it into the content, the campaigns, and the website experiences. Whether it's ensuring your generative AI search visibility perfectly matches your core messaging, or just making sure the final landing page seamlessly converts the lead that a specific social ad brought in.
An integrated approach ensures that the marketing is not just loud, but that it is consistent, recognizable, and ultimately effective at building trust.
Yeah.
It's about making sure the transmission never corrupts the signal. So, as we wrap up this deep dive, the ultimate takeaway for you is this. Strategy sets the direction, but marketing brings it to life.
Well said.
If you are ever building a brand, scaling a business, or simply evaluating the companies vying for your wallet, do not confuse the transmission with the signal itself. Marketing is the transmission. It's the radio wave that will broadcast whatever you tell it to across whatever algorithm is popular today.
But the brand strategy is the actual signal.
Exactly. It's the truth of what you were saying. Without a clear, defined signal, your marketing transmission is just expensive noise.
Which leaves us with a final thought to ponder.
Ooh. All right. Let's hear it.
The next time you are scrolling on your phone and you click on a really compelling ad, but you immediately bounce off their website feeling strangely alienated or confused. Take a second to ask yourself, was it actually a bad product they were selling, or did you just experience a fatal disconnect between their short-term marketing hook and their true brand identity?
That is a great question to leave off on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information around you, and we will see you next time.